con él, pues si tú no quieres hablar conmigo, dímelo para yo no llamarte ni molestarte, porque nada más quedaba tú.
Real talk. Real people. Real stories. The He's Just Podcast. Yeah! Welcome, everyone, to another He's Just Podcast. I'm your host and founder of the He's Just a Social Worker Movement, Jules Duger, with another amazing show for you today. But before we get started, I want to remind everyone that this platform was built because way too often as people, we were overlooked or labeled. But this is no longer. Our plight and our fight is for anyone and everyone who feels a need to be understood. We are strong as individuals, but unstoppable when we unite. You know, science empowerment refers to the process of enabling individuals, communities, and our societies to harness the power of scientific knowledge, methods, and tools to help us address challenges and improve our drive through progress, research, innovation, and evidence-based decision-making. The journey of self-evolution is the ongoing process of personal growth, self-discovery, and transformation. It involves gaining deeper insights into oneself, confronting challenges, and learning from experiences continuously as you evolve into a better version of yourself. Meet Laura Ballett, an accomplished author of the book, Science of Empowerment. She serves as an ambassador of life empowerment. Laura is a global new thought creator and speaker, empowering individuals worldwide. As an ACA certified life transformational empowerment coach and mindset energy coach for Zelo Studio, she also brings her expertise to the global corporate consulting business. Laura is also a co-creative partner at The Shift & Company, as well as global podcaster. As an ambassador for Conscious Music Code, she contributes to the global immersion of experiences for human development, the care, consideration, and general thoughtfulness of supporting and exploring an empowered life and beyond. Laura continues to be impactful, life-advancing, and human beings whose willingness to share their experiences and thoughts, her expertise, are here for clients, attendees, and listeners around the globe. Laura, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Jules. I love that introduction. I'm always excited to move forward the energy. And you and I were just talking, of course, before we are set to record here. And some of the best conversations come from that connection at the beginning and talking about community and how empowering community really is. So thank you. I'm honored to be here with you.
Well, let's get started. Tell us how you got involved in this work.
Yeah, very cool story. Always give a heartfelt acknowledgement to my brother, Chris Brennan. He created this very unique formula. He is a former USA gymnastics coach. And yes, he has worked with Olympians and star athletes around the country. And he was working mindset material way back in the day before it was like the cool in thing to do. And that kind of is a testament to how Chris and I were raised. We came from a family where our parents really encouraged us to feel like we had superpowers. Mm-hmm. And however we chose to kind of move through our challenges, they would always ask us, how are you thinking about it? How would you move through this? So it gave us this very cool opening to start thinking differently than kids our own age. So Chris created this formula. I started seeing him work it closely when he moved back to Connecticut. We have a neuromuscular training facility. And I went up to him and I call him brother. I said, hey, brother, what do you think would happen if we started using this on everyday people? Not people who are primed and ready, right, for greatness, not going after medals and records. Everyday people like me, just a wife, a husband, a partnership, children, wanting to switch jobs, let go of negative thinking. So I started applying this to the people that came in that I was physically training. And we started working mindset first, and then physicality second. And oh boy, did we start to see some amazing shifts in people's lives. From that, I just started talking differently. And my brother came up to me one day and he said, you have to write a book, because my brother will go very neuroscience on everybody. And sometimes, right, the average person, you can see they get very glossy eyed because it's just a different language. But me, I'm kind of a regular kid at heart. But I have this unique way of bringing in this knowledge and this insight and wisdom from my life experience, but it's relatable because I've lived it. And so I sat down and 5 years later, the science of empowerment was designed and engineered, because it really isn't a typical book. It's about written energy. And when you read it, you start to understand that, yes, right, we can begin to create new neuronal pathways in the brain, new perspectives, new ways of thinking. So it really was a love of wanting to transform ourselves personally and wanting to express the potential for others that we cared about in our training facility, that if you're coming in and you're having problems in your partnership, your physicality is not going to be able to move, the flexibility, the mobility. There's going to be contracted energy, i.e. negative energy there. Let's start working on the way your mind is thinking about thoughts. And that's where it came from. So now I'm kind of like known as this neuroenergy coach, and really looking at the neuroplasticity and the potential that the brain has to record what the mind is thinking. And now the mind can actually tap into the creative flow of consciousness, spirituality, human advancement, development. And we can do it to really create some great happiness.
That is amazing. And actually, you know, it gets me thinking, there is more to life than just living. There are so many things that we can do, say nature, say physical, say mental, that we can incorporate. Tell us a little bit about what is science of empowerment to you, and why was this so much of importance to you then?
Yeah. I think for me, if I look at growing up and the part that religion played in my life, baptized Protestant, but my stepfather was old school Irish Catholic. So Saturdays we went to Protestant service. My aunt and cousins played the organ, right? Sang in choir. Then Sundays we went to Sunday school and Catholic services. So I had a really cool experience of different faiths and different ways of going about it. However, when I was quite young, I would say, oh boy, under 10, I started to feel this pull towards something past that. And I started studying more on a spiritual consciousness level. And from that, I started to gain this knowledge and realize that there was an alchemy, a science to how consciousness shows up in our life. And I've always studied the thought process. Why am I thinking this way? Where is this train of thought coming from? And we can always look back. It's from an emotion. It's from a story. It's from an aspect of our personality. It's from something we experienced. But I started to realize, not only in myself, but more using the family dynamics and the extended family dynamics, what was creating negativity when you went over to your cousin's house and your aunt and uncle were fighting? Or what was creating maybe a little bit of unease sitting at the dinner table? There was just some part of my brain that was really intrigued by, there's an energy that I could feel. There's a reason why everyone acts the way they do, but they don't quite know why. And if they don't know why, they can't transform it. So the science of empowerment for me was something that was a natural alignment when I was young. And it took all of my years to figure out what it was. And it really culminated in this book, The Science of Empowerment. It was a way to take knowledge, information, other people's gained insights and wisdom, and certainly science-based evidence, and also the new sciences, such as like an epigenetics, where now we're understanding that the cells, the physiology actually has a language, right? The beautiful Dr. Joe Dispenza is teaching us through meditation, through thought processes, we can actually heal diseases and negative energy in the body. So I started really researching and pulling on people that were studying things that seemed very interesting to me. But then when I started to talk about it with everyday people, I could feel them light up. Something in them was eager, almost willing to say, what are you talking about? What does that mean? How can I use that thought process? So I found a way to create written energy in order to spark this awareness in the reader that would help them begin to transform their lives.
We're going to talk more about this book, but right now you had me thinking, as a child, 10 or below, you know, there are many times even as adults, we have these childhood memories. Sometimes we have to be presented at a specific location, a certain song plays. Sometimes we look at pictures, but nevertheless, we have these gifts. And you for sure have tons of gifts. Just hearing your answer, that you're able to create a written expression of this. Many of us just have the ability to think it and remember, and we kind of store it. And we know that it's something kooky too, right? Because some of us, like me, I could remember stuff when I was 5 years old, and I could remember every grade level teacher I had, and I could remember certain things. But these usually are memories, whether they're very positive and sometimes they're very negative. So tell us a little bit about the formula. J3 or J to the third power equals E.
Yeah, so this is really cool. So the name of the neuromuscular training facility here in Connecticut on the East Coast, of course, is JEKL, J-E-K-L. And that's an acronym for four very important people in my brother's life. And it all represents the J, best friends, the E, the first person that he worked the program on, the K, which is our cousin who is like his soul brother. And the L is for his sister, me, Laura. And then there's a halo over it. And that represents our mom and our dad. And this is just something that we kind of created. And so what this consists of, this formula, first of all, really cool. It's applicable to a five-year-old up to an 85-year-old. You don't need to have anything other than the openness to potential and possibility. So there's five principles, and then there's the three fields of energy. So quick science, little nerd second tier. Obviously, there's only two fields of quantum energy, negative and positive. But I felt that we needed to put neutral in the middle, because I'm not sure about the listeners, but if I'm in a negative space, to move into a positive framework, positive response system, or positive behavior, sometimes that is not always easy. So we need what I call the resting ridge. We need a moment to step back, catch our breath, apply a principle, apply a law, a skill, a technique, a modality to help us really close that gap from negative patterning to a more positive outcome. So you look at J is the five principles. Three is negative, positive, neutral. Which one are you? And E equals empowerment. And when you move through these principles and you understand that you are in the power seat of choice to which energy you want to align yourself with, now you begin to create an empowered life.
And you know what? I thought that was just so dope, because I thought that it was an opportunity, as you mentioned, for us to tap into areas that are so applicable, whether that is for a child, an adult. And when we look at these JEKL principles, awareness, willingness, accountability, critical thinking, energy, I'm thinking about students now. If a student is struggling on, let's say, standard-based assessment tests, and they're struggling to apply a specific area, if they go through the principles, it sounds like they can apply a superpower at that particular moment. Many of us as learners, whether it's special education or just a regular general education student, we're learning that many of us have more powers in one area than the other. Some of us have better visual spatial, others have auditory processing, others have sensory movements. So there are areas that I think that we can tap in to highlight the superpower. So I'm so lucky to have had, and I have a copy of this book, which I also uploaded on our website, and you guys can take a look at it. But I'm fascinated in the ability that is so easy and tangible, something that you can explain. And that was what I was most impressed with you, that you have an ability to now present somewhere as you do worldwide, and the listener walks away with a principle that's going to be useful for them. So thank you for that, because I think that that is the most essence of your formula for me, that anybody could walk in there and just walk out being a genius. Now, your book, before we get into it, I thought it was so cute. You got these bubbles that highlight different phrases that are important, and there are quotes in there. Let's listen into this quote. Be engaged in the process of who you are now and who you are willing to become. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, and again, this goes back to human potential. Why are we not seeded with this knowledge right from the get-go? Right? When we have babies that come into this world, immediately keep tapping into something that is almost greater than where you are. This is not to say do not accept self and do not reside in the moment, right? The power of now. We're talking here in the context of these questions and answers, this dialogue. Do not settle. We are not here to settle. I wrote about this in the Science of Empowerment. I'm a firm believer. New science is now starting to actually project this out. Coded within our DNA is the sheer genius, the sheer brilliance of the universe. It really is. We are connected to something that is so much more than what we give ourselves credit for. We stop at the pattern. We stop at the limited thinking. We stop at the belief that this is all I've got. I don't have what it takes. And so I really think it is so important. And as you just said, you can come in and listen to a talk or this podcast. And even if you come away with one thing that empowers you, there you go. You show yourself, I am genius. I've got enough brilliance. Look what I just heard. And now my superpower is willingness. Mm. When I go in to take that test at school, I am willing to study more than I've ever studied before. Period. It's okay. Maybe I get the same grade. Maybe I fail. Maybe I ace it. It doesn't matter. I now have sparked that movement of tapping into my potential to do better, be better than I was a moment ago. And again, this is not sidelining the power of now and the importance of settling into that most beautiful moment. This is about using the mind-brain connectivity to actually ignite something beyond just the present condition.
Beautiful. And the growth mindset that you just talked about are some of the things that we as adults also struggle with. There are many, many times that when I'm working with clients, there's a belief that they can't, right? There's a belief that there are some struggles there. And for those listeners who may come across their dreams or their dream jobs and they're not willing to try it, when we get these negative thoughts, how can we begin to process some of this to get us out of that red and get us more into that yellow and ready to go?
I love this question, and go right into the principles. So I'm aware that I'm blocked. There's a block there. Maybe I don't have exactly what it takes to move the block at the moment, but just putting awareness begins to shift the energy. Now, what am I willing to do? Read a little more, study a little more, right? Make a movement, ask for help, collaborate, whatever it is, right? There's a willingness there now to what I'm aware of. Accountability, I love this. I'm not looking for outside guidance to direct my internal navigation system. I am taking accountability. I'm the driver here. I've got this. I know when I take a moment to listen to myself, that fear is an illusion. That hesitancy is just a story I've been telling myself. It is not who I am. You came here prepared. It is in you to take on that dream, that goal, that challenge. Now we move into critical thinking. All right, let me for a moment suspend all the doubt, all the insecurity, all the fear. Let's suspend it and let's move forward as if it was already done. What would that look like? What would that feel like? How would I now take the awareness, the willingness, the accountability, and act as if I've got it all figured out? Just exercise that power within you. Energy, negative, positive, neutral. Well, if I stay connected to where I was before I honored the awareness, I'm in negative. Why would I stay in the negative zone? I know I can at least neutralize it. I can neutralize it, which then brings me closer to empowering it into a positive experience.
I would have loved to be a fly on the wall when you and your brother were going at this with this formula for real. It would have gave us an opportunity to hear raw data and conversations about what these principles are. So big up to you and to him, obviously, for bringing this work out. You know, there are moments that now listeners are going to tap in into the J3 method. Mm-hmm. And what are some of the tools that we already have, that we already possess? Because if I'm a person who's going to learn the willing aspect of the Jekyll, and now I'm going to move towards getting a little bit refined in other areas, what are ways that I can create from an aspect of, let's say, I'm a good reader or I'm a good listener? How's a good way for me to put this into practice, if you will?
Yeah, again, I'm going to go back to what I just said. Suspend all doubt. I have two superpowers when people ask me. I really anchor into neutrality on a daily basis. And when challenges arise, I suspend any doubt around it and I just move through. So I would say where you find security, it could be a thought, it could be a memory, or it could be a willingness. Hold steady to that. Then I want you to move beyond your comfort zone. Mm. I want you to look at something that's kind of stirring up a little bit again of that block. And I want you to look at that block as a marker, a mechanism, an indicator that I'm supposed to go through it. Mm. That's all it is. It is not an actual block. It is a perceived moment in time that you don't have what it takes to go forward. In actuality, you do. That indicator, that's all it is. I call them markers, indicators all the time. What is it telling me? What is it showing me? Am I still scared? Am I nervous? Am I insecure? Why am I doubting? What do I do in order to move through that? Get on the other side of it so it's gone. Now you've got that one moment of experience. I remember what that felt like when that challenge showed up. I don't have it anymore because now I just move through it like that. And that is not to say that there aren't moments in life when something is being presented that takes more time and more care and a more gentle approach. But we're talking in the conversation of empowerment when you are ready to go for it.
Mm. And I love that. You know, for some listeners and clients that I've worked with, obviously, I'm always about creating gratitude lists. And what if you use the Jekyll principles and just embedded a gratitude list that showed I am willing today for this. I am grateful. I am going to be a critical thinker in this way. So I'm really impressed with this easy method that allows us to match it and move it around in different ways. What are some of the known challenges that we can experience when we feel that stuck or drive progress kind of thing? Like what are some strategies aside from what you have let us understand because there are continuously things that may keep us stuck. A death in a family, yeah. Job security things. What are some things that you think can be some of these challenges, and how can we overcome that? That's a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just thinking when you were asking that question, I have two clients at the moment. One is around the death, not only of her mother, but her father 9 months after. And I did something very transformational with her. And I asked her if she would be willing to empower the grief process. Mm. And no one has ever said that to her. Empower the grief process. So we started looking at, and this is an example of the typical behavior when we have experienced loss, staying in bed, no appetite, depression, just feeling like what that loss really is doing to us. And I asked her, all right, we're going to empower it. What can the transition of your mom do for you? Just asking her that simple question, you could feel a little bit of this breath come across. And she started to share, I remember my mom would say this. I remember my mom supported me here. It was this moment where I gave her the space to see the positive out of the transformation rather than the negative of the loss. I also have another client where divorce was pretty much right there, getting ready to sign on the dotted line. Her expectations of her husband became the rule, and the gratitude for what he has actually done for decades, the hard work, the stress of climbing up this corporate ladder to provide them with a beautiful home in a beautiful neighborhood, put their boys through college, all became an expectation. I said, when is the last time you ever went to your husband and said, thank you? Mm. She said, I don't think I ever have. It was just, and I said, I want you to go home and say, thank you. And ask him, how was your day? Do you have anything you need to talk? She never even thought, what is he going through? What as a man, right? Because so many of us, and depending on their age and they're older, she grew up with, this is what the man does. This is how he does it. This is what the woman does. And it just became this point in their relationship where they couldn't get down. Well, long story short, they're happy and they're doing really cool things together. And their marriage is in such a healthy place that it hasn't been in like 20 years from a simple awareness around he's also feeling things. He's also going through things. So I think when we look at present day challenges, personally, professionally, certainly within the family dynamics, our work environments, just asking, this goes back to community, what is someone else going through? What are they really experiencing? Can I bring neutral energy and maybe even positive energy into their life? Can I shift a perspective for them so they feel better when they walk away from this experience, this interaction? We're so driven to take care of our own needs that we lose this ability to realize that we're in it together. And we think if I spend time helping you, somehow that takes away from me. It's the opposite. When I give, when I'm in service, I'm actually elevating the energetic frequency in the environment that ripples out way past just you and I. So it really becomes this beautiful way of looking at self in service and understanding how collectively that really does evolve the whole dynamic.
Empowerment, elevation. Love that. Great stuff. You know, there are times that the human brain or the thought process, as you said, or maybe habits or some even rituals become, we get stuck because this is the old way of doing it, or this is the right way to do that. And I think that you brought in a beautiful line in empowering something that really isn't looked at something that's positive, and flipping the switch on that. I really did enjoy understanding that as a person who's had loss, as a person who deals with everyday struggles and challenges like everyone else, I have an opportunity to put a different perspective on things. I think allows us, me and the person or the people who I'm working with or are around me, to better understand what makes me tick, what can help me. So I really did appreciate that answer. Let's talk about this book, The Science of Empowerment. What do you want our listeners to learn from this book?
That you have already built in to your humanness the potential to move through your life with grace, with dignity, and with expansion. And at any moment that you doubt yourself, you can pick the book up, which I have my clients do this. You can think of a thought or a question or a feeling or an emotion, and you can pretty much open to any page and you can get an answer. And so I just wanted an answer to this question. And in my little champagne bubble, these are the power quotes that travel around the world. It says, tap into that part of your nature that knows differently than what is at face value. There you go. So don't take your present condition as your stopping point. It is actually the entry to living up to your potential.
I was lucky enough to get my version of this book, and I began to read. I really am impressed in how, you know, you evoke family, you evoke love in everything that you do. And what got me was, first time me and you spoke on the phone, let it be that we're both from Connecticut. Yeah, shout. But I think that at the end of the day, what also had me come away from that phone call was your humanity. You said to me, Jules, look, I don't care if I sell one copy, a million copies. It really does not matter. I think what I really want is for at least one person to come away understanding that they can, that there are ways to be better. And that really, really, even when I hung up the phone, there was still smoke coming out the other line, because I said, wow, these are the kind of people who are game changers here, just walking around this earth, and we don't even know it. But today we had the opportunity to know that the book is out, and I have a link that's on my website, and people can definitely get a copy of that. And I love that. Just pop up a page. Today's Tuesday. Clap. Open up. There's a champagne bubble there, and that can be your affirmation for the day. Really did enjoy that way of reading it, if you will, once you go once or twice, you know, through that. What are some strategies that you've not talked about that our listeners can get from your book?
Yeah, I think it is. I'm thinking of titles right now. So one of my favorite chapters is The Fraudulent Ego. This is a very powerful chapter for many people. It isn't, again, nothing is written from someone else's book, someone else's program, someone else's thought process. This really is something that I personally tuned into some very ancient knowledge, and how I began to not only extract a different way of thinking, but then used my modern style of humanness to bring about a written story that when you are done with it, you realize I have the ability to. So it could be, I can tap into becoming a self-actualized thinking human being. I could release the fraudulent ego. It doesn't serve me. I could, and then there's so many ways to fill that in. This book, someone once asked me, why didn't you write about yourself? You're like nowhere in the book, really. It's not I. It's always you or we. I said, I didn't need people to read about me. It's about you, the reader. How do you come through that journey of the science of empowerment a better human being than when you opened up the book. Mm-hmm. And that really, for me, that when you talk about strategies, yes, it's the principles, it's the fields of energy, it is the ability, the potential, the desire to tap into all of these aspects of ourselves. But really, the book is a journey for you to say hello to that part of yourself that maybe is forgotten or buried or neglected. And I think when you really read through it, when you close that last page, you understand that this book was written for me. Mm. Me, my individual self. Every single person gets something so beautifully deep from the book because it was written in that language to tap into you creating new perspectives, new neuronal pathways, new insights, new awareness. And so I think the strategy that I would say, again, that maybe we haven't talked about, read the book and create an empowered life for how you see that to be. And that will become your strategy. And then you will have positive causation on your family, on the people you work with, within your community. And that's really what it's about.
That is Laura Ballet. And I'm really impressed in the ways. And you got me just thinking about different ways to approach this. But I'm thinking about what I answered before regarding you, that giving back sort of person you are. In understanding how people who may be coming up against depression, a feeling of mental health that they think that they can't overcome, you're really speaking to that person. You are really speaking to a person who has given up on the traditional ways of understanding information and probably applying it and using the Jekyll principles, or you use your formula. You choose to be negative or not, or are you just neutral? It gives you that opportunity to kind of pick. This is how I feel today. When it's raining outside, I'm really in the neutral. I don't know because I can't wear specific clothing. I'm limited to this. But then if I'm thinking about the positive, today seems like something I've planned for so long. I'm very optimistic about this. And the negative, it could be something that may have happened, but tapping into what you said, flipping it and making it empowering. Well, thank you. I will be back next time and try my best yet again. Thank you so much for that, Laura. And as we are thinking about ways to spread the word of science empowerment now, within our school systems, within our family gatherings, when we're, you know, coming together and everyone wants to talk about what's a game to play? Let's play science empowerment. Yeah. What are we trying to do here?
Yeah, I love that. We actually have done something like that, and we tend to live our life from the aspect of the science of empowerment. We're always looking, and remember, science is an alchemy, right? That's really what it is. It's this beautiful merging, and you can look at it, God energy, universal energy, evidence-based energy, data, metrics, measurement, however you all want to look at it. It is this gathering of information, of knowledge that we then get to apply to see how we can transform interactions. So a lot of times when we have family gatherings for holidays, we always get into this. What's a new awareness that you didn't have last year? Mm. What is something that you were unwilling to do 6 months ago, but you're finding yourself now willing to do? When's the last time you took accountability when you were having a less than pleasant conversation where you looked and said, you know what? This is on me. Give me a moment. Let me step back. Let me go take care of myself so I can best come back to you. You ask people this and they're like, whoa, right? We want to blame. We want to shame. We want to guilt. We want everybody else to take care of it. I write about this in the book. If you're so busy, right? Blaming and pointing fingers, there's no time to look at self. And everything must start from the self. Mm-hmm. Then back to the game, critical thinking. How many of you in the last week reacted with emotion rather than responded with positive intelligence? And then energy. How many of you came in maybe with a little bit of a negative vibe and now you're feeling neutral or more positive. So we actually run through this. Everybody who knows when I'm around, they know how my brain is thinking. So they might be a little bit more on their toes, but when you really get down to this, again, it's you have six-year-olds, five-year-olds, you can teach them negative, positive, neutral. Even young humans know what it feels like to be happy, what it feels like to be sad, what it feels like to just kind of be okay, reading a book, laying on the couch. And you can start to teach them. And then when we go into older adults in the room, it's quite amazing what happens. So I really think that there are opportunities for everyone listening to, yes, of course, read the book because it's such an incredible journey. You're going to get so much out of it. But you may pick one chapter, one quote, one verse, one principle, one field of energy that you really want to focus on. I'm a positive thinking human. I am one of those people that is pretty much always positive, but neutrality is my superpower because neutral, I've learned, I used to be in the negative zone. I'm a regular kid out in the world. I didn't have an easy childhood. I have all kinds of stuff in my life that I can drag in my wake. But when I'm neutral, my head stays straight. I don't worry about what's behind there. I'm neutral. I'm not necessarily looking for all the best, all the positive, all the easy, smooth sailing, but I'm no longer looking in the wake. I'm not dragging that. Neutrality really just anchors me into potential, anchors me into positive intelligence, anchors me into really what can I do to fulfill a higher, better version of what's happening in the moment. So I think too, for the listeners, I'm hoping that even if they're feeling negative energy, depression, sadness, when you were talking about mental health, I'm starting to work with people in this industry now. And you think, well, how do you take someone that's really depressed and just make them positive? Of course you don't. There's a time here. There's a nurturing. There's a compassionate process to this. But you can begin to neutralize the negative aspects of how you saw yourself and begin to empower what is potentially the new self. And I will tell you, changing your personality, recalibrating your thinking process is an absolute game changer.
And this is something amazing. This is when you put into practice activating dopamine in different ways, without an exercise, without a drink, without something that's fulfilling on the other side, is you enhancing your own emotional ability.
Yeah.
And think about what that household was going back and forth. But I do enjoy thinking about having a group of people over and tapping into this. When was the last time that you were creative? When was the last time? And many of us who are stuck thinking about things because of the processes of the 9 to 5 and raising children and having families, please don't discount the opportunity to tap into science. Empower yourself in ways that you know you already have these tools, which is what I really enjoy about this, that you have a chance to really focus on what is out there besides what you already know. Challenge yourself into daring, into being better and a better version of you, actually.
Yeah.
You know, Laura, when I'm thinking about other practices such as meditating, and I'm trying to put in the Jekyll principles into practice with this, trying to be intentional now. Are there ways that I can practice this daily? Is there a specific time I should think about one or not the other? Help us out.
Yeah. So I love meditation. Not everybody wants to do it. It's not everybody's jam. People sometimes struggle like me. I'm very high energy sitting and Om, though I do. I've studied Tai Chi. I dabble in and out of that. So always, always big props to people who can calm the nervous system down, calm the monkey mind down. For me, again, I go into the principles. First thing in the morning, I ask myself, what am I aware of? Am I already clicking into the monkey mind from the night before? Am I already picking up the phone, hitting social media? Am I already thinking about what I have to do? The minute I kind of move through that awareness, I stay right back in bed. I do a camel pose. That's the knees up to the chest. I let my lower back kind of just have that shape. I start to find gratitude. I'm in the warmth of my bed. I'm comfortable in my room. I'm so grateful I have a home. I start to immediately calm the monkey mind down. Then I'll ask myself, how am I willing to proceed in the next few minutes? Don't get up and hit the floor. Don't go into that old habit. If I'm used to getting the coffee, putting on the, whatever it is, I always ask myself, what am I willing to do a little bit differently today? And it could be something so simple. It could be, I brush my teeth with my right hand every day. Today, I'm going to do it with my left. I'm just going to, but it is. I brush my teeth all the time with my opposite hand. My brother and I are very, very, we're pretty cool with this. If you play football, baseball, golf, always, always use the opposite side. There's a reason for that. But I do this all the time. Go out of the comfort zone. Switch things up a little bit. It's so important. All right, accountability. Nobody can make me feel good today. It's all on me. What would make me feel calmer? What would align me with my intentions for the day? I know I've got this coming up at work, or geez, my partner and I, we had a little bit of an uncomfortable conversation. What can I do to soften that experience or empower that experience? I ask myself, critical thinking, am I in pattern? Am I pulling on an old story, an old belief to start my day? Or am I already tapping into some unseen, unknown potential? How can I explore my empowerment today? And yes, I do this every single morning, especially my critical thinking around how can I discover and explore a new level of personal empowerment. It's, I just think you talk about the dopamine, forget any drug, money, any of it. It is such an internal knowing and feeling that absolutely elevates everything when you ask yourself that question. Energy, by the time I get out of bed, and this can take literally 5 minutes, I'm already in positive zone.
Knowledge is power. And thank you, Laura, for allowing me to think that I was the only weird guy trying to eat with my left when I'm actually right-handed. Sometimes trying to write with my left because I'm right-handed too, just to see. I do throw kind of funny with the left, but I still try it from time to time. It's something that's amazing, though, that people who are like us, who really want to change the world for the better, are always in a good mood. And it's something to really speak to. In order for you to get better at anything, before you share it with someone else, you have to be a better you. And the order of discussion here has been empower yourself with science to improve thyself in different ways. I know that you've worked with so many people, and sometimes we come across very unique cases. Has there ever been a case or cases that sometimes have stayed stuck with you and say to you, look, Laura, I'm going to do this today or for the rest of the year for this specific situation? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, probably the one that I will always talk about was when I first started with the book and everything being out. I spoke at a suicide prevention gathering, and my brother said, you've got this, sister, just read like the first page of what you wrote. And I remember, and I'm pretty good. I've done plays in school. I was always the lead. I'm pretty confident, and because I'm not afraid. If I mess up, I mess up. I don't, like, nothing bad's going to happen. So I always just kind of have fun with things of that nature. But this was important to me because this was a gathering of people that have either lost someone to suicide or thinking of it at some point in their life. And so I really took it. And I remember I was physically shaking. And my brother looked at me, and he always, you know, great support, checked in and just said, you can do this. And I said, yes. And what he wanted me to do also was show that part of me that is so emotional, which, right, we can get tons of speakers that can just blow through a speech. So what happened, and it's going to happen right now, I started reading the beginning and I just lost it. And everybody in that moment, there was, I think, about under 100 people, everyone just poof, because the moment of collective compassion was so much more important than what I had written. even though I still read it and it mattered. And I had so many people come up to me and just, may I give you a hug? You just helped release something. I was able to come to terms with this, but it was a moment in the way beginning. I never even had coached at that point, never even thought about being an empowerment coach or transformational human, facilitator. I just wanted to write this book to change one life. That's all that I was driven for 5 years. And a side note to the listening audience. So you want to talk about present challenge while you have this urgency to create something that will impact the globe. I was doing practicing a backflip over an octagon. I passed out in the middle of it and my left arm collapsed and I subluxated my first and second vertebrae, which if anyone knows about this, I basically should have been paralyzed. I wasn't up in the air. I wasn't flipping. I wasn't on a trampoline. I wasn't shooting off a parallel bar. I was right on the ground, just flipping back, but like a back handspring. Long story short, we found out I had low blood sugar, didn't even know. But for over 430 days, I was concussed. Over a year of my life, nothing gets me down. I broke my leg skiing. I got up and skied down the mountain. This wiped me down. And I decided in that moment that, all right, there is still a reason for me to sit at this desk. So when it brought me almost, I don't know how many years after I started writing the book, I think 3 years in, and I was reading to this group of people that actually had that deep loss, I could not contain the emotions of knowing that my whole life also. So I think these moments of when we, which is the most important thing, you know, I've written about it all throughout the book. It's the human to human connectivity. It is the most important aspect of what I think is built into the human condition. But until and then unless we create that relationship with the most important person in the world, which is yourself, you will never fully engage in an authentic interaction with another.
You're talking about collective compassion, y'all. This is something that is mind-boggling in many ways, but when there's intention and there's groups of people sharing the same emotion, the same love, and you having, and thank you for sharing multiple things there, but I think that one that stands is there is so much to say about the human being. There is so much to say the times that we feel that we won't get to the contract that we seek, we won't get the job, we won't learn a second language, we're only born with one. There's so many things that can get in our minds and say, I would never do it, but you won't know unless you try it. Yeah. And your ability to share the times that you struggled or probably weren't successful, nothing came to be and nothing was more telling of the person you are and how you have changed the world because of that. That day was 100, but how many people from there left explaining we are in this together? And you having a struggle that you didn't have the thoughts, but you almost lent us to understand, I, who am very positive, I too have struggled. I also felt at a time that, dude, I just cannot do this.
Yeah.
And whatever got you up on that desk, whatever got you to say, look, I don't care what, even I have to crawl up there, I'm going to get up there. These are the things that separate us from all. And thank you for sharing that beautiful story. You know, this is something like a backwards planning. I've done this a couple of times. What are you currently working on? And I know we talked about maybe another book and TED Talks, whatever. Hit us up. Tell us something about that.
Yeah, I'm doing so many wonderful things. I get excited. So a shout out to my friend, Laura Katanen. She is the founder of Zielo Studio. And this is a very unique coaching opportunity for me. I'm helping with the team to create a very high level, compassionate, community-oriented coaching in the metaverse. So we're actually tapping into this just spectacular technology as avatars, and it removes the visual and the judgment and the assumption, and it really gets into the heart of how transformational coaching can elevate our work environments, our organizations, and human development. So she read my book, loved it, and I'm bringing in that part of my energy and my bit of brilliance into her program. So it's an amazing opportunity, and talk about moving beyond a comfort zone, getting in with these Ivy League grads who have been in organizational development. I've never even tapped into it, but here we go. I move through the formula and I show up my highest and best every day. And then what I don't get right, I run through the formula. I have another opportunity the next day. I'm also co-collaborating with a beautiful, this woman, Simona, in Ireland, and she's a prolific writer on children's books. And I have a children's book that I want to create. And she does a lot of animated work that's incredible. And I really want to teach the awareness around energy to our little ones. And so I'm working on that. I'm working and co-authoring on a book on how to empower the grief process for my friend who went through it. She was so moved and so helped and supported that she asked me if I would write a book with her on this. And we're using that as a basis to get into mental health facilities and start working with people there. So those are a few things that I'm doing. And I'm actually going to get back into the studio for the Science of Empowerment YouTube channel podcast. And I'm going to start working that too. So some really cool things. Just again, one person hears one thing and it begins to shift how they see themselves in the world, that they have such an important part to play, that they matter, that they have a brilliance and a genius. And I don't care if you are a gardener, a janitor, or a CEO of a company, we all have something just absolutely beautiful to contribute to the collective. And I really want everyone to hear that and know that, who's listening, that you're not forgotten, you are seen, and I'm here if you need anything. Reach out.
Great stuff. Friend, the floor is yours. Before we let you go, leave our listeners with something to remember about you. So much amazing stuff. But what is it that you want them to remember about our conversation today?
Yeah, that you are empowered. That it is all in you. And yes, podcast, books, having a coach, having a mentor, reading, studying, gathering new knowledge. It's what I call creating the internal living library. They talk about the Akashic records. Well, we have all of that. And what we don't have, you can gain. And just remember that you are beautiful, you are special, you are wanted, you are loved.
Thank you so much, because listen, what, make positive changes to your mindset, because these changes that you're making are going to unlock your potential, because you're taking more risks. You're going to unfasten these roadblocks. Nothing can hold you back. Unbolt your motivation and you finish what you started. If one door closes, the other one will open. You know, this platform was built because way too often, as people, we were overlooked. But this is no longer. Our plight and our fight is for anyone and everyone who feels a need to be understood. We are strong as individuals, but unstoppable when we unite. Tune in, friends, to another He's Just a Social Worker show, coming to another town real soon, near you. We out.
Please note that the views expressed here are my own and not a representation of my employers and clients. Thank you for listening. We're always here for you. Just message us and we'll get back to you within 24 hours. Thank you. More than just at He's Just a Social Worker. In memory of my mother, Matilde De La Rosa, this is dedicated to you, Mom. Miss you so much. En memoria de mi madre, Matilde de la Rosa, esto va dedicado a ti, mamá. Te extraño mucho.